Episode 3. This is the third part of our October mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. 2 weeks ago, in Episode 1, as the Synod for the Family began in Rome with Pope Francis, we reflected on the prophecy of Sister Lucia, the Portuguese nun to whom our Blessed Mother appeared at Fatima. Sister Lucia predicted that the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family. So don't be afraid, Sister Lucia said, because those who defend marriage and the family will always be contended and opposed. It's not a surprise to any of us that Satan is out to destroy the vocation and mission of marriage and the family. It's not a surprise to us that those who fight Satan will be opposed in every way. And so as St. Paul says, in season and out of season, whether popular or unpopular, whether convenient or inconvenient, I will continue to preach the good news of God's beautiful plan for marriage and the family. A plan that is only between a man and a woman. A plan that calls them to be faithful until death and open to the blessing of many children. Last week in Episode 2, we were inspired by Gianna Jessen's testimony before the United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee. In the public square before Congress, Gianna boldly gave witness to her faith in Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, Gianna survived a late-term saline abortion that was encouraged by Planned Parenthood. Gianna called on Congress to be brave and to stop funding the evils of Planned Parenthood. And although we know that Congress was not brave this time and continues to fund Planned Parenthood, we know that nothing is impossible for God. We just ended a week-long time of intense prayer and fasting for the end to the evils of abortion as promulgated by Planned Parenthood. These prayers and sacrifices are very efficacious and will bear great fruit for the kingdom of God. Today in Episode 3, I would like to go back to the Eternal City, back to Rome, early this morning. Perhaps you couldn't sleep last night and you got up at 3 o'clock this morning and were able to turn on the television and watch the canonization that took place there in Rome in St. Peter's Square. Less than 1 month after making history by canonizing St. Junipero Serra, the first person canonized on American soil, just weeks after that historic canonization, Pope Francis makes history again. This morning, bright and early in Rome, in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis canonized the very first married man and woman during the same canonization ceremony. Do you know who I'm talking about? I hope you do. My good friends, Saints Louis and Zélie Martin. Do you know their story? It's a wonderful story. Louis and Zélie Martin. It's interesting to begin their story by saying that in this year of consecrated religious life, that they both contemplated contemplative religious vocations. They both thought about entering consecrated religious life. Zélie's sister, Marie-Louise, was a nun at the Visitation Convent, and she herself studied under the Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, so she had this desire to become a religious sister, and yet discovered that it wasn't God's plan for her. And then Louis had a desire to be a consecrated religious priest, and he actually entered the Augustinian monastery, but he struggled academically
with his Latin. So he too thought it was a sign from God that God was calling him to another vocation. And so instead, Louis and Zélie both settled in a beautiful town in the north part of France called Alençon. And it was there that they pursued their trades. Louis was a very skilled watchmaker. And Zélie was an expert in pointe à la sun, which is a very particular type of lace known in the region there of Alençon. And so they were a watchmaker and a lace maker. And they were very good businessmen and women. Louis, for example, absolutely refused to open his shop on a Sunday, which was the prevailing custom there in France after the evils of the French Revolution. And he said, no, Sunday is a day of rest. And Zélie, she was so kind to her workers who helped her with the lace. And when they were sick, she would visit them. And she would even arrange for them to get hired by other lace makers when she didn't have a lot of different orders for lace. So these watchmaker and lace maker met in Alençon and fell in love and got married at midnight on the 13th day of July, 1858. 1858. That's a red letter year. Just to put it in historical perspective for you, that was the year that on the 11th of May, 1858, that Minnesota became a state. That was the very same year in 1858 that they decided to establish the first Catholic parish in Wabasha, Minnesota. For St. Felix was established in 1858. That's the very same year that in the southern part of France, buried in the Pyrenees Mountains, that a poor little girl by the name of Saint Bernadette Soubirous had visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary at a very famous place called Lourdes. All that happened in 1858. Now, after Louis and Zélie Martin got married, they were going to live in perfect continence. They had decided to live as brother and sister, as if they were a monk and a nun. But on the advice of a priest friend, they changed their minds. And by the grace of God, Louis and Zélie had 9 beautiful children. And I can almost guarantee that you know their youngest daughter, born on the 2nd of January, in the year 1873, the 9th and the final of their 9 children was named Marie Francoise Therese, who you know as Saint Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face, Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower. Yeah, we're talking about Saint Therese's parents, who were canonized this morning in St. Peter's Square. Now, because of St. Therese and her other sisters, they tell great stories about their parents, Louis and Zélie. And especially worth noting is their playful sense of humor in the Alençon home there in northern France. Oh, how they love to play with their children. Louis said, "I am just a big child when it comes to my children." Zélie would put aside her lace to play for hours as her daughters had their doll's tea party. Oh, there was so much fun and life in the Alençon home there in northern France. But not without prayer and devotion, for the Martin family was very beautiful about bringing their children to daily mass, about saying their prayers in the home, which would include the morning offering. During the month of May, they would put flowers out, fresh flowers out every day for a statue they had in the home that Saint Therese called Our Lady of the Smile.
They would do spiritual reading and read aloud to their children things like the liturgical year from the abbot Dom Guéringer and from the classical work, The Imitation of Christ, by Thomas à Kempis. How do you think Thérèse knew these things? It was because of her parents. This was the type of home that the Martin children were raised. But as you can expect, the Martin home was not without its crosses, not without its sacrifices. Saint Thérèse wrote a letter to Father Maurice Bellier where she said, "The good God gave me a father and mother more worthy of heaven than of earth. They asked the Lord to give them many children and to take them to himself. And this desire was answered. Four little angels flew away to heaven and five children took Jesus as their bridegroom." And so St. Thérèse tells us the sad story that of the nine children of Louis and Zélie Martin, four children died. Two boys in infancy, one daughter when she was 6.5 weeks, and one daughter when she was 5 years old. The next tragedy to befall the family was that Zélie had to make a pilgrimage down south to Lourdes to bathe in the waters there at the miraculous spring at Lourdes. Why? Because she contracted breast cancer. And after praying to Our Lady of Lourdes, after bathing in the water of Lourdes, when St. Thérèse was 4.5 years old, her mother died of breast cancer, leaving her father alone to raise his five daughters, all of whom, became religious nuns. Every one of the five remaining daughters all entered convents. Four of them, including St. Thérèse, at the Carmelite convent there in Lisieux, and one to another convent. St. Thérèse writes that it was with heroic courage that her father gave all of his daughters to be brides of Christ, who, like Abraham, sacrificed to God what was most dear to him. In Louis's later years, St. Thérèse says that her father offered himself as a victim to God, suffering a very serious paralysis that eventually left him unable to speak. When he was told that the whole family was making a novena to St. Joseph to ask for his healing, his answer was, before he couldn't talk, his answer was, "No, you mustn't ask for that, but only the will of God." These are the holy people that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, canonized this morning. And you probably know that it's hard-pressed within the life of the church to find canonized lay men and women. There's lots of priests and bishops and nuns, but there's very few lay men and women, and even fewer married persons. And yet it's not without accident that during the Synod on the Family, right in the heart of the Synod on the Family, Pope Francis is holding up for us a saintly married couple. That it's married men and women that are called to be saints and to help each other to become saints. Did you know that at the Synod proceedings, there in the Paul VI audience hall, they actually have with them at every meeting the relics of Louis and Zélie? Isn't that awesome? The Pope is holding up for us this holy married couple, that married men and women are called to help each other to become saints. The Pope holds them up for us today as exemplars of those who live the conjugal life to its fullest. As an example that the graces of the sacrament of holy matrimony can help married men and women to become saints in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health. I'm particularly inspired by their story that they both thought
of becoming a priest and a nun. I always tell all of our young people to seriously consider this way of life, as Louis and Zelie did, to seriously pray about a religious vocation. And then, notice what happened. All of their children became nuns. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? They have no natural grandchildren. None. All spiritual grandchildren. And that's us. We have become their spiritual grandchildren. But they had to sacrifice natural grandchildren as part of God's plan. And at the same time, in the midst of this great peace and joy and laughter in their home, they experienced great crosses. The death of four of their children and the loss of their spouse. And if you've ever lost a child or ever lost a spouse, you know what a cross that is. And yet they never gave up. They never lost hope and faith in God, no matter what. These are the saints we celebrate today, who indeed shared in the Lord's chalice of suffering. These are saints who were able to sympathize with our weaknesses because they have been similarly tested in every way. So let us confidently ask for the intercession of the parents of Saint Therese, Saints Louis and Zélie Martin. Let us confidently beg for their intercession, and let us confidently approach the throne of grace, as they did so often, to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. Amen.